Well, good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Morning, saints. How's everyone doing this morning?
Well.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this is healing class, and just before we start off this morning, as is our custom for good reason, we're going to start off with a word of prayer. Okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. How many are expectant this morning? Hallelujah. And that's great. That's awesome. When we come to class, we ought to come expectant and ready. Ready to receive what? Truth. And who knows what truth does?
Free.
It liberates, sets free, heals as far as manifestation. So it's just awesome. Well, let's just give this time to Him. Father, thank You for Your presence in this place, in this room this morning. Thank You, Father, for Your power, which is evident. Thank You, Lord, for Your heart towards us. Thank You, Father, for healing made sure as by the cross of Your Son, Jesus, His death, resurrection, and glorious ascension. Thank You, Lord, for the living realities to which You've called us to enjoy, richly enjoy, to Your praise and glory. I thank You, Lord, for every heart in this room. Thank You, Father, for the exposure to truth that brings light, illumination, and understanding in walking in the truths to which You've called us, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many know healing is real?
Amen.
How many know healing and walking in divine health is for this time and this season?
Amen.
It doesn't belong to a bygone era. Doesn't belong to antiquity. You know, doesn't belong to old times. How many know that?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. This morning, I'm going to proceed on what I term the final installment as it concerns authority and power in expression. And so this will be the last class in that aspect, the third area for healing school and healing class. Who can quickly highlight what the three main areas are for healing class? Healing school, what are our three main areas?
Authority.
Focus.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Three aspects, healing school, healing class. What are the three main thrusts, arms, as we teach and instruct from God's word as it relates to healing? Well, not sure. Anyone?
Well, we are to be healed so we can heal others.
Okay. Amen. That's almost like a synopsis of that. Gail?
How to walk in divine health, how to minister healing, and how to...
Okay. Do we need a quick revision?
Maintain health.
All right. So, for those of us who are newer, how to receive healing, how to walk in divine health, and then thirdly, how to minister healing to others. So those are the core aspects for healing school and healing class. And for a few weeks now, we've been touching on the third aspect, which I wouldn't say we rarely get to, but it's important in this day and age to know the importance and how we fit in into that plan, that grand design of the Father as it concerns what? Ministering life and healing to others. It's crucial and it's important, okay? So this will be the third and final installment in that regard. Authority and power in expression, okay? Authority and power in expression. And over the past few weeks, we've been talking about authority, what authority is. I'm not going to delve into that. We have the recordings on the church website. What authority is, how that authority does not stand alone, authority goes with power, and what power is, how we've come into power as sons and daughters of the Most High, and how we get to express that in speech, in giving commands, command imperatives to situations, circumstances, spirits, whatever the situation is. Mark 11, 23, 24, Jesus emphasized that. And, you know, we've looked at those over the past few weeks. And so, how many here have power? Okay. How many here are expressing that power on a daily basis? And so it's important that we do this, friends. And so we're looking at how this relates to how this comes into play in ministering healing to others. And, you know, and so actually the first port of call was to understand that we ourselves have been healed, just as Natalie said. So because we realize the truth of healing, 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, because we realize the truth in this reality, we see, understand how that we are, in turn, we are healed what? Healers. We're healed healers. And so one of the questions we were looking at last week, which I'm going to continue on this morning, is why is it hard or difficult? Why is it that we're not doing what the Master, what Jesus has called us to do and commanded that we do? And with the certain passages we looked at, John 14:12 says, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto the Father. It says, these works you will do and greater works shall you do. And then we looked at Mark 16:15-17, how that, okay, these signs will follow them that believe. And then he highlights certain things. And so in this day and age, and that's why I started by saying, it looks like, oh, why are we not seeing much? Okay, well, are we doing? Are we stepping out in faith? Are we stepping out in faith? In obedience to what the Lord Jesus asked us to do, you know, and so that's the question. And so, how many were here last week? Okay, what were some of the answers that we came up with in that regard?
Fear of failure.
Fear of failure.
Fear of man's opinion of you.
Fear of man's opinion. Okay, how does that play out?
You don't want to look stupid.
All right. Okay. Right, right. So, you know. All right. So, those things she just mentioned, are those real as far as in stepping out in faith and seeing someone who's ill, seeing someone who's clearly gotten a situation that is, you know, difficult, and then in faith stepping up and then ministering to them? Are those things mentioned, do we see them as practical, as why we don't?
Yeah. Well, yes, but also I think it's like you have to get in the habit of it, doing it.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people don't know how to get into, like, to do it.
So habit. Okay. So sometimes it's sporadic. So it's not as constant.
You have to like consciously make an effort to do it.
Okay. All right. So it's something that is consciously done, not just. Right, all blasé, yeah, just like, oh, okay, I feel like, oh, I don't feel like it, so, all right, yeah. What are the things that we come up, so fear, and that's crucial, and what man would think about us, what people would think about us in that regard. Now, why does that even come into view? Why are you thinking about what people would think about you?
Because I think at that point, we really don't know who we are and who we have. Because when the Lord taught me about authority and speaking the word, it was through police officers. Like, I would see them. They might not feel like they have authority, but they've got it. I mean, you're not going to cross it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's given, it, that badge or whatever is there. You know, the gun's the power. But I think just like she was saying, just get the nerve. Hey, he said that. Hallelujah. I would do those greater works.
Amen.
So just start, even with the little things. And I was telling my son one time, you're adding just your part. You know, it might just be what the Lord wants me to say. It doesn't mean there's going to be a miracle at that point. There might be, but there could, you know.
Hallelujah.
You just have enough nerve to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Just to plant the seed.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I would just say, when I walk my dog, I just get up, gumption, and break the ice and say hi to people and say Jesus loves you. And the more I get brave to say Jesus loves you, then I'll run into another person and then I get over the first initial
hump.
You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like inertia, or, you know, the more you do it, the more you do it.
So exercising yourself.
But I don't listen to my advice.
So the core of this is essentially it's about giving expression to the nature of God and the life of God on the inside. And it's important to know who you are and what you have, who you have on the inside, you know, so his life, his power, his nature. And these are things we've gone over in the, you know, previous weeks. And it's about maintaining that consciousness. when we face life situations and circumstances, when it's real right in your face. And guess what, friends? We face this on a daily basis. We face this with ourselves personally, and then we see, trust me, we get to see on a daily basis, people face challenges in that regard. Yes.
I just want to say for myself, it's a love issue. If I choose to love them more than I love myself, or if I choose to allow him to love them, then I find I can step out easier.
Hallelujah. So love being a motivating factor, that drive, you know, so, and that drive, friends, it gets us to go beyond ourselves. Something that we saw last week is all the reasons that we're pointed to, touched on, as far as, oh, why we may not be doing or walking in obedience to what he asked us to do. All those reasons, regardless of how many they were going through the room, pointed back to what?
Us.
You as a person, you as an individual. You had something, Libby?
Oh, I was just going to say, in my own life, if I hear that I hear from the Lord too, and am able to step out in what I've heard from him, he always is right, and it always works out through something, then it gives me the confidence to begin to repeat that over and over again, maybe in an area where I haven't always heard directly, and I'll just step out until I get more confident and build on that. But if I know I've heard from him in prayer and in tongues and morning, and I'll step out and I'll do that first, then it gives me the confidence to go ahead and to do more.
So you're charged up in that way, you're encouraged, you're lifted up, you're just greatly encouraged in that way. That's awesome.
Yeah, you can pray for divine appointments. I forget. And when Libby, did I say, is that right?
That is correct.
When you pray, then the angels already, I noticed, set divine appointments. And it's very humbling to know that, you know, the Lord is so with you, you know.
Amen.
He's so good, isn't he?
He's awesome. He's awesome. And you have a powerful testimony as well. You know that, right? Do you know that you have a powerful testimony? Do you know? Okay. Can you think back to just your week?
Or
the week before?
Or the week before.
So here's what it is. He always leads us in triumph. We'll get to that at the end of this message, okay?
I got so many messed up things in my life. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, and that's one of the questions I was asking last week. We look at us, but it's important to look at the Word and see what the Word says, what the Word reveals, okay? And we take that as the template for our hearts. That is, our hearts ought to be steeped in truth, and then that generates the drive to walk in obedience. There's something else I want to emphasize. Two words, two key words from last week. Unbelief, and then the second, fear, and we'll touch on that. It's important. And so we see from Scripture what God's Word has to say about these, and then how they ought not to cripple us or hinder us from forging forward in things spiritual as far as just the kingdom of God and just, you know, just growing that and expanding that. Let's look at Luke in chapter 9, verse 1. Unbelief cripples. Part of unbelief is having the idea or the conception that healing, the miraculous, signs and wonders, and all of that is consigned to the past as far as in relation to the apostles following the death of Jesus, and that it related to, oh, them going around evangelizing in that era,
yeah,
in their world as they know it at that time. That's part of unbelief. So if somewhere in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, if there's an iota of, oh, you know, is this really true? Is this really real? Or does this pertain to today? Is this relevant for today? Is this real for today? Now, if we have those thoughts, if we have that thinking, if we have any of that lurking, that will serve as what? A stronghold that limits us from actually stepping out in faith.
Yeah.
If there's somehow that conception or conclusion that, oh, You know, really, you know, is it real? Is it for today? Is it relevant in my time? Look at Luke in chapter 9. Concerning Jesus, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority over what? All demons. And to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to what? Heal the sick. Verse 6, Luke 9, verse 6. So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and doing what? Healing everywhere. So they didn't just heal when it was convenient. They didn't just heal, go around preaching and healing when they felt like it. Everywhere they went, they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. The disciples, correct?
Yeah.
All right, let's look at chapter 10. Because someone says that was the disciples. Let's look at chapter 10. See something here real quick. After these things, 10:1, the Lord did what? Appointed what? 70 others also. So right off the bat, is that in your Bible? Look into your Bible. Luke in chapter 10, verse 1. Just says 72. 70 others also. What version is that?
ESV.
English Standard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone else have 72?
No.
Okay. So that's...
70 also.
Yeah, 70 also. So... right, so... well, praise God. So, for my study time, I know I've known it as 70. I'm happy to look at, you know, look at ESV, the root of that, but I've always known that, I've seen that as 70. But regardless, so whether 70 or 72, hear this though. The point is what? Outside of what? The 12. Did you get the point though? Outside the 12, beyond the 12, okay? So it's not limited. Scope, that's just the first point off the top. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them what? Two by two. So I don't know if that's where... in that translation, where the other thing, you know, I don't know how what transpired there, but two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So he appointed what? Others also. Luke makes it a point to emphasize this, and we'll see why a little later. Verse 9, Luke 10, 9, and healed the sick there, that is, he told them, go preach and all of that good stuff, and say to them, the kingdom of God has done what? Come near you. Verse 17. After he had gone out, done great and mighty things, they came back with what? Reports. What was the report about? Then the 70 returned with what? With joy, with glee, with gladness, saying, Lord, what? Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I do what? I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all. Someone say all.
All
the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. I give you what? Power. And what?
Authority.
Okay. Friends, put a liner in that portion of scripture and turn your Bibles. Don't leave that portion. Put something in Mark or whatnot over there. Turn to Mark 16. I wanted us to see this today. I've touched on it in the past, but I want us to see it clearly this morning. Mark in chapter 16. So we've looked at the 12, we've looked at 70.
Mark 16, any verse?
Oh yeah, from 15.
Oh.
The port of...
Waiting.
The port of call. Yeah, between contemplating, do I quote, do I say, whatever. All right, so port of call is verse 17, but I always like to take it from 15 so that we see, I want to emphasize the scope of this so that it's clear, so that we don't just see believe as general or generic. So it says, and Jesus began, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach what? The gospel. This is after his death and resurrection. And preach the gospel to every creature. 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. Verse 17, he says, and these signs will follow what? Those who believe. Who believe what? Who believe what? Let's look at the context and its clash. Praise God, healing class. He who believes.
In my name.
Now, in his name, that's attached to, what does that, the name, he's about to talk about what's going to follow the believers, but he who believes what?
The gospel.
Oh, okay. Follow a context.
Which is the power of God unto salvation,
and there's salvation in none other, Acts 4:12, than in who? In Jesus. In Jesus himself. Okay? He says, for there is no other name given amongst men by which we must be saved, or by which we shall be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It's the name of Jesus. So, following his death and resurrection, go preach the gospel. So anyone who believes what? In my name. Now that name is, the attachment is the gospel, the good news. Why? Because there was a reason he came. There's a reason he died. God didn't just wake up and say, okay, you know, through Abraham, I'm going to forgive all of humanity. Or through David, you know, David himself, or through Moses, I'm going to just deliver all of mankind and everybody will just become my... No. It's specific.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's specific. Because, and I can go into doctrine in that regard, concerning Jesus. Okay? And I can talk about, okay, the hypostatic union, 100% God, 100% man, and all of that stuff. But no man could die for our sins. No man.
Right. Yeah.
No human being. Who paid the price. Okay? It took God sending his what? Only beloved son here into the world. The Lamb of God, John 1:29, that does what? Takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. So it took Jesus. So, they that believe, I want you to see context here. Let's look at it again. Mark 16. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes. Now, he who believes is what? Linked, inextricably linked to the gospel. He who believes the gospel, he who believes the good news
is saved.
And how do we know that? Romans 10, 8 through 10. Romans chapter 10, 8 through 10. Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and do what? Believe in your heart that what? God raised him up from what? The dead. You shall be saved. Say, for with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. It says, and with the mouth confession is made resulting in salvation or unto salvation. So you believe in your heart and then you confess it. You speak it out.
Yes.
And I'll add here, it's not the confession of sins that saves. It's the confession of who? Of Jesus as Lord, as Master, as King. That's what delivers. Yep. All right. So, and he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. It says they will what? Cast out what? Demons. They will do what? Speak with new tongues. They will what? Take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So now, it gives this description for those who believe what? The gospel. Those who believe the gospel and then do what? And then get what? Saved. How many can see the parallels between this and what we just saw in Luke in chapter 10? Can we turn back there? Luke 10. Verse 19. It says, behold, Jesus speaking to the 70. I give you what? The authority to do what? Trample on serpents and scorpions. Did we see that in relation to the believer in Mark in chapter 16? What does it say about serpents in there?
They'll take them up.
Okay. And what will happen to them? The believers in taking them up? Okay. Let's continue from Luke 10. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do we see that in Mark 16 as well? As far as hurts. How does it put, what does it say about that? All right. And so we see those parallels, those two positions in there. Once we do the comparison between trampling on serpents and scorpions and nothing shall by any means hurt you, between the trampling there and the conclusion of nothing shall by any means hurt you is the reality of the authority over all the power of the enemy that the believer now has, that the believer has now been called to. Let me rephrase, you know, because it is said, I'm not saying it is said in this room, but it is said that the power and the authority is consigned to the age past. No longer real for today. But we've just seen from scripture, it had to do with the 12, it had to do with the 70, and Jesus said to the disciples, go preach, get them saved. Once they get saved, these things will follow them. This power and authority attaches and follows as signs, as wonders, as healings, as protection from, because when you talk about serpents and whatnot, it's not just about literal snake crawling over here and doing something. It's about every power or every form of manipulation or expression that the enemy can wield by way of threats, by way of suggestions, by way of circumstantial happenings. It says you have authority over that, power and authority over that. And we have to see this, we have to realize this. Again, let me repeat it. Between the trampling on serpents and the conclusion of nothing shall by any means hurt you, nothing shall by any means harm you, is the intended, superintended in the heart of God, purpose, design by God, that authority over all the power of the enemy is yours. Is mine as a child of God here and now.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you know you have that power? Do you know you wield that authority?
Yes.
Praise God. Was that a question or a thought?
May I read a definition that we learned in spiritual authority class?
Please.
It says, spiritual authority is the power or right given by God through our Lord Jesus Christ to believers to enforce obedience to the word of God on circumstances, on situations, on spirits that are subject to the believers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, you see, these are the things to fill our hearts with. So no demon, whether in hell or wherever,
That's right,
can impose or can bring stuff to you. You can nip that thing, you can cut that thing off right off from the root source instantly. And we've talked about this in previous classes, by your word, by what? By your words.
Right.
By commands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By instruction.
Enforcing, yep. Say.
Yep. Someone talked about a law enforcement officer, so you're enforcing. You have this authority, you have this power, what are you doing with it? You know, and so we've been learning the past few weeks, not just about yourself, but now more so in relation to others. Why? Because Jesus said, go do this.
Man. And I don't know exactly where the scriptures are, but Jesus cast out a devil with a word, healed the sick with a word. You know, it was like he spoke what the Father said or whatever, and then obeyed.
Amen. Command imperatives. We've looked at that in previous classes. And that's just it. That's just it. Let's look at one more thing. Praise God. As we go on this morning, Let's look at this from a parallel in Matthew, Matthew 10, 7 through 8. But it's important for us to keep that in mind over all the power of the enemy. Okay? Not just some or a certain aspect. All right. He told them, he says, as you go, preach saying, Matthew 10, 7 through 8, preach saying, the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely what? Freely give.
Yeah.
Right. Freely you have received of this power. Freely you have received of this authority. Do what? Freely give. Now, you didn't make any payments for it. You didn't do, did you do anything to earn?
No.
As far as works, to earn it.
No.
For till tomorrow, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God. It says not of works, what? Lest any man should boast. Now, look at the next portion. For we are his what? Workmanship. We're about to see that in expression from a different version. Now, where is workmanship created in what? Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which he had before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. Part of these good works is to render null and void and destroying as it concerns what? The works of the enemy. Because what did Jesus say was his purpose in coming? To destroy what?
The works of the enemy.
Of the devil.
Yeah.
So we can wreak havoc in that kingdom. How?
Amen.
How?
With the word.
With the word and by delivering many from the hold that he has over them, especially as it concerns the area of health. So you can speak life to situations. You can pray for the sick. You can lay hands. You can, as the Spirit leads, and see deliverance come in those areas and those aspects. We need to know, friends.
Yes.
He's called us to this. Look at the Passion, Matthew 10, 8. It says, freely you have received, freely give. We freely receive, so it's time to give. It says, you must continually bring healing to lepers and to those who are sick and make it your habit. Natalie? That was your word right there. Okay. It says, and make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for your presence.
Freely you have received.
Thank you for your fire. Hallelujah.
His power. It says, now freely release it to others. Encouragement to you. It says, make it your habit. Someone say habit.
Habit.
Make it your habit to break off the demonic presence from people and raise the dead back to life. Freely you have received the power of the kingdom, so freely release it to others. So you have received power over all the power of the enemy. You must bring healing to the sick, Jesus said. So what hinders us as Christians? The power of which we speak is the power of Ephesians 1:19. Ephesians 1:19, that's the power of which we speak. What does Ephesians 1:19 say? Yes, Mary?
What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?
Yes.
What he wrought in Christ?
Jesus. Mm-hmm. When he did what? When he raised him up from the dead. And you can read that portion, friends. If you read that portion, Ephesians 1:19 downwards, you see how that raised him up from the dead and set him what? Far above. If you read further down, far above all what? All principalities and all powers. And guess what, friends? Where's his body? And if Christ is above as his body, where's the enemy?
Beneath our feet.
Sir? Below, beneath our feet.
Yeah.
Under us. Underneath. All the power of the enemy. Let's keep that in mind. So that there's nothing we face or nothing we'll come across that will be like, oh, this is way too much or too big. Or can the power of God really minister in this area? Mary, I'll come to you. Yes, Gail.
Yeah, the only power Satan has is deception and lies. We have to remember that. Jesus. And he has no power over us as believers because Christ defeated him.
Hallelujah. Amen. And we'll see that from scripture real soon. Okay, we'll see that. We'll take a look at the scripture real quick.
In Hebrews, doesn't it say that he is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool?
Yes.
And I, one of the things the Lord taught me years ago about when praying, in praying, say, no, Lord, we put that under your feet. It's just a symbolic gesture. No, you're under his feet.
Right.
Because he's waiting for that, for the church to do that.
Yeah, we have the gospel of the peace
now. Shot.
Preparation of the peace
of God. Hallelujah. Of the gospel. And we shared in class past whereby where you're preaching the undiluted gospel, when you're preaching the good news, every time, always, power goes with that.
Amen.
Romans 1:16. Power goes with that every single time. With the gospel. Look, go through the book of Acts. Even when they send the disciples out, they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all. So I've seen it in scripture, I've seen it in the word, how that with the gospel, in teaching, in preaching the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus, who he is, and all that he represents, what he's done. There's great power available in that, that whole atmosphere, saturated. Colossians in chapter 1, verse 13. Just to tag on to what Gail and Mary said, it says, he has, concerning Jesus, he has delivered us from what? The power of darkness. And translated us. So there's been a conveyance, friends. We're no longer under the rule, the reign of the evil one, of the enemy, of the devil. We've been delivered. So, but if we don't see ourselves as delivered, if we don't see ourselves as delivered, if we don't see ourselves as delivered, then it's possible that we're subject to the suppositions, the schemings, the, what was the word you utilized? The deception of the enemy to say, oh, yeah, you can have this. Yeah, you can have this ailment. You can have this disease. You can have this infirmity.
Such a liar.
And then you have to rebuke that thing straight up. Amen?
Yeah.
Any questions before I look at fear? What hinders us? Fear. What is fear? Anyone?
False evidence appearing real.
Thank you, Lee. I like that. Did you hear that? False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. But guess what? In the world that we live in the real world that we live in, what appears more real to us? Friends, by the world's standards, what appears more real is the evidence that is provided us.
Yep.
What we see, what we feel, what we sense, our senses.
Yep.
That's what, isn't, am I being wrong here, friends? I'm just trying to be real this morning. What appears more real to us is the evidence, the things that we feel. Oh, my body, I feel this. So it's evidence and it's before your face. It's clean, it's dealing with your body. You know it. And that's what appears more real. But what is real to you? What's truth in your heart as it concerns healing? And that's what we're going to go back to following this class. Just to assure our hearts over and over and over again of the reality and the truth of healing made sure by the death and the resurrection of Jesus that is ours, and how we can see this manifest in our physical bodies here and now. So we're going to go over that all over again to assure our hearts of these truths, okay? False evidence appearing real. Thank you, sir. What does fear do? Fear limits us.
Torments
us. Ife?
Makes us
doubt.
It paralyzes us. Disables
us. It disables us.
Yeah, I feel paralyzed.
That's, I like that word, paralyzed, fear. Okay? Now, thank you for that. Fear from the original, from Greek, is the word D-E-L-I-A, and it means three things. One, timidity, fearfulness, and cowardice.
Cowardice?
C-O-W-A-R-D-I-C-E. So, remember I asked the question, what's limiting us? What's stopping us from stepping out in faith and walking in obedience? Fear. Being fearful. Being timid. What did Paul tell Timothy? 2 Timothy 1:7. Who knows that? Yes, Libby.
God's not given us the spirit of fear.
Okay.
Power and love and a sound mind.
Hallelujah.
How do you get a sound mind? I take things for granted, but ever since I came to this church, all of a sudden these words are popping out and I'm asking questions.
Amen.
Instead of being, you know, taking things for granted.
Hallelujah.
So, church. This is a very good church.
So, thank you, Holly. So she's talking about soundness, and we're going to answer that question as we close. I want to read this passage to you, 2 Timothy 1:7, from the Amplified. I don't know that it's time, so we can check it out in Amplified. You can look at the classic version as well. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." Holly, did you pronounce that word? Did you say it differently?
Cowardly?
Correct. So, that's another expression, but that's the essence of it. So, he has not given us the spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing, or fawning fear. Is that what, Mary, can you read it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I wrote that down.
Right.
For God did not give us the spirit of timidity,
okay,
of cowardice, mm-hmm, of craven and cringing and fawning fear. But he has given us a spirit of power, love, calm, well-balanced mind, discipline, and self-control.
Oh,
that's the Amplified classic.
So no craving, no cringing.
No fawning.
Or fawning fear. Now, these are things that get expressed when in the blue eye encounter, you're at that mall, or you're at that store, or you're at that library, or you're at that parking lot, or you are at that park, or you are down that street, or you are at that family gathering, or you are at that sports event, or you are at that game, or you are at that school, and you come face to face with a situation with someone who's experiencing difficulty as it concerns health.
Could I read Philippians 1:28 in the Amplified? Okay.
Go for it, Mary.
Okay. Do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign and proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God.
Amen.
1:28 in the Amplified classic.
So concerning fear, that's not something that we receive from the Lord.
Right. Amen.
And he's telling us we ought not to be afraid. We ought to only step out in faith. Trust in him, believe in him. Nothing doubting. It says, for the spirit God gave us, NIV, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Remember, the power is the power of who?
Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
The power of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit dwells where?
In us.
And we have to know that. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I'm repeating those passages so we can, you know, put those down so that we can know this and be assured in our hearts.
Can you give us the other two again? 1 Corinthians
chapter 3:16.
6:19.
And there's several others, you know, just, you know, so that we know that he dwells in you. And, you know, when we read Ephesians 1:19, that's, it's basically saying, nutshell, The self-same power that raised Christ Jesus up from the dead is this. Yes. Now dwells in you. Period. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Period. That's what it's saying. Yes.
We were talking about how Jesus was moved with compassion.
Yes.
And when you look at the first part of 1 John 4:18 in the Passion Translation, it says, love never brings fear. Again, if we love them more than loving ourselves.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Because God is love.
Hallelujah.
And if we know how much God loves us, we don't have to fear either.
Right.
Just seeing things on the TV or things around us.
Amen.
Don't touch, don't taste, don't.
Uh-huh.
There's that.
Right. Hallelujah.
Plus, if they don't love us, we're literally not.
Right. So, here's a question, friends. Here's a question, friends. Let me put it this way. Are you going to do you, or are you going to do God? Are you going to do you, or are you going to do God? What will they think of me? What if something doesn't happen? What if something happens? What happens when it does happen? And the lame walks, or that fever disappears, or that sore just goes.
Yeah.
Then what next? Are you going to freak out and fall dead?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, why can't we err on the side of belief and err on the side of faith and say, I'm stepping out in faith, I'm believing for the miraculous, and I'm doing.
Amen.
Regardless, why are we going to say, what if it doesn't? Why is that the template? Why is that the question? Why is that what resides in our hearts? So, to be sound in mind, if we fill ourselves with the truth of the word as it concerns his power, his person, his presence in our lives, then we step out in faith regardless. So that even if I've laid hands, even if, and I don't see that, I don't believe that for one second, even if I lay hands on 9 and nothing happened, I'm still going to step out in faith for number 10 and believe and then see.
Yeah.
I was going to share testimonies, friends, of how that, I can't tell you enough, how I ministered and I didn't see it right away. But the very next day, now, the healing occurred the night before. Let me throw it out real quick, okay? It's called elephantiasis. So, her leg was swollen. I went to, drop off a note. This was back in college, studying law. So I went to drop off a note. She couldn't come to the door to open it up. I step in there to drop it off. She's laying on the bed, in distress. What's going on? And then she just lifted up the cover and then, I saw that thing. At close quarters, it was shocking. It was like a shock to my system. In the name of Jesus. That was my refrain. And I just started speaking in tongues, spoke on that thing, and then left the room. I just left. Praise God, just left. And then the following day, while going over to my lecture theater, her roommate comes rushing. Pastor Sheon, Pastor Sheon. She has never called me pastor any time in her lifetime. A classmate. Pastor Sheon, Oh, thank you so much. It was my roommate. When I got back to the room last night, she was excited and everything. So the healing took place the night after I left. Now, I didn't see anything when I left.
Right.
But the following morning, she runs after me. So, thank you so much. She was healed. She was moving around. She was ecstatic. I'm like, but if, do you get what I'm saying, friends?
Yeah.
Sometimes we always want to walk by sight. But guess what, friends? We walk by what?
Faith.
Not by sight. So you may not see it there. How do you know what happens when that person gets on the bus and goes home?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you know what happened? What manifests?
Yeah, right.
The key word is obedience. I'm saying this morning, let's do. That's all I'm encouraging us, friends. Just do. Don't ask questions. Don't bother about, what happened, what didn't happen.
If you plant seed, it has to produce a harvest.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
If you plant that prayer, it has to produce a harvest.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory.
Praise God. Let's do, friends.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time, for your word which went out in power. Thank you, Father, for encouragement of scriptures. Thank you, Father, for the power and the authority which we have. Thank you, Father, for causing us to step out in faith. And we choosing to walk in obedience to your word and seeing the miraculous just break forth in power. To your praise and glory always, Lord. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer team member, would you come? If anyone needs ministry in any area, health concern, matter, she's set by the power of God. I'm remaining up front here as well to minister. Today's your day. It's a day of victory. It's a day of rejoicing. And it's yours in full because the price was already paid. And it's yours. Amen.
Amen.
Just step forth in faith. Hallelujah. Amen.